Athletes individually have to face this choice, especially people who are thinking about pregnancy.
Dave Zirin, you recently wrote about the majority of the members of Brazil's Congress under investigation for corruption. The Olympics are known for corruption. Talk about that and your interview with Rio's mayor, Paes.
Rio's mayor, Eduardo Paes, is going to be the political face of these Olympics, and he belongs to the same political party of Michel Temer, who has now taken over the presidency, and is the worst-kept secret in Rio that Paes has designs on the presidency. He's actually going to come here to New York City to teach at Columbia for a year. That's his plan, and then return. So maybe he could come on Democracy Now, and we could both talk to him. But I really do think that there's a fight right now in Rio for the narrative of what the Olympics are doing, because I sat down with Paes, and I raised things like 77,000 people have been displaced, and he looked right at me and said, it's just not true. Nobody's been displaced. I raised with him the idea of this bike path that was destroyed by a wave, killing three people. And he said, no, that wasn't an Olympic project. So we have a fight for the narrative at play.
So we're going to continue this conversation and post it at democracynow.org. Special thanks to Dave Zirin, author of Brazil's Dance with the Devil, the World Cup, the Olympics, and the Fight for Democracy, and Jules Boykoff, his new book, Power Games, A Political History of the Olympics. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the 29th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place July 1st through 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park in Portland. This year, performers include Tedeschi Trucks Band, Dr. Joan and the Night Trippers, Maceo Parker, a Prince tribute with Liv Warfield and the Special Horns, and many, many more, plus two after-hours parties, dance competitions, six cruises, and 4th of July fireworks. This year, everyone will need a pass to enter the festival. Single-day passes go on sale June 1st, and early bird pricing has been extended to June 5th at 11:59 p.m. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival, July 1st through 4th at the Waterfront Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2016.
I got my headphones on, just on the block. Not a moment to waste, because I feel the bass drop.
Albert was in Pearl Harbor. That's just where he happened to be after serving through the war in the Navy. It was the 6th of August. He'd never felt this way before. He decided then and there was no way to morally fight a war. Albert joined the Society of Friends. Like him, they believed the means must match the ends. He resigned from the Navy, for he would be no one's tool, who did not believe in the golden rule. You do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, the golden rule. Golden rule. What do you do when you join the opposition? You collected signatures, sent in the petitions. Sometimes you must bear witness. You can't just burn the fuel. So Albert and his comrades set out on the golden rule. You do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, the golden rule. Traveled across the ocean, they searched in vain to find remedies for the scars from the radiation rain. Every week a new explosion in this planetary duel to test weapons of mass destruction. Enter the golden rule. They were arrested in Hawaii, at least this particular crew. The Hiroshima Phoenix was the first boat to make it through, to publicize the tests that were unraveling the spool, and to introduce the golden rule. Do
unto others as you'd have. And good morning. This is Wednesday Talk Radio with your host, as always, Paul Rowland, here on KBOO Community Radio. And you were just listening to Dave Rovics doing The Golden Rule, a song he wrote, obviously, for the purpose of what we're going to be talking about today. And so you got a little bit of the story right there, and we're going to get more of the story from our guest, Helen Jacquard, who is on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Where are you at right now?
Well, I'm in Eureka, getting ready to go meet the crew up in Brookings.
So that's the crew of the Golden Rule, which
that's correct.
Is a boat that you are on. You're going to be sailing for a few months. Is that right? Up in the, around the Pacific Northwest.
That's correct. We'll be sailing. We left yesterday morning from Humboldt Bay in Northern California, and we'll be going all over the Pacific Northwest and returning here October 15th.
Great. And it's just an amazing story. I don't know how many of our listeners know about it. I didn't know anything about it until I finally plunged into some of the material in preparing for this show. And 1958, that's the year I was born. That's a long time ago. And I had no idea there was stuff like this going on back then. So this was the boat you're traveling on, the Golden Rule, is a rebuilt boat that had been languishing in the Humboldt Bay Harbor there for many years. It had a big hole in its hull and was in serious disrepair. But I'll let you tell the story. But yeah, tell us more. How did you know about that original 1958 voyage when you got involved?
Well, no. I mean, I was only 3 years old when the Golden Rule sailed. But I've met many, many people along the way who knew the original crew members. So they're all still alive as far as a lot of the people that knew them. There's only one original crew member left. And I knew about the Golden Rule starting in 2010 when she was brought up from the bottom of the bay. She hadn't been sunk very long that time, and was drug up into the boatyard of Leroy Zerling, where she was restored. He thought this would maybe be a one-year project. It was a five-year project. And in 2012, it became a national project of Veterans for Peace. And so it was Veterans for Peace members that did a large part of the work. Also, a lot of Quakers. The original crew were Quakers. So in 2011... one of the Veterans for Peace members involved with the boat was giving a talk at the Northern California Northern California Veterans for Peace Conference, and I was there. And he gave us this detailed background about why the original crew sailed and his vision for the future of coming into port and educating people about nuclear issues today. And I thought that that would be a great way to turn the tide in favor of peace and nuclear disarmament, and even as we rid ourselves of fossil fuels, not turning to nuclear power. So I was really inspired back then. I went to see the boat, and I was really shocked. She was small. She had these two big holes in her side, and it looked like it was going to be a long time before she ever got repaired, and indeed it was. When I came back in 2012, the story was a little bit better. And then a little bit over a year ago, there was a call going out for volunteers to try and get this boat finished, ready to go to the Veterans for Peace National Convention in San Diego in 2015. And I just showed up on the scene with my partner and just grabbed a paintbrush and started working.
Well, let's at that point, let's backtrack a little bit and properly introduce you and talk a little bit more about the original mission of this boat. So I'm speaking with Helen Jacquard, who's chair of the Environmental Cost of War and Militarism Working Group of Veterans for Peace, and now a Golden Rule crew member. And you're also the project manager for this Golden Rule project, which I'm sure you'll be talking about in the next hour. And I invite people to call in at 503-231-8187. The boat is going to be coming to Portland next week and next Wednesday at the First Unitarian Church in the Elliott Chapel. There'll be a whole bunch of people, including Helen, Harvey Wasserman, a longtime solar energy proponent and vocal opponent of nuclear power, Kiana Judah Angelo, Living Islands Marshall Islander Support Organization, Mimi German, founder of No Nukes Northwest, Teresa Rayford of Don't Shoot Portland, anyway, a bunch of other people, and music by Dave Rovics, who you heard at the top of the hour. And there's going to be other events. There'll be a potluck with the Golden Rule crew the next day on June 10th up at the Friends Meeting House, 4312 Southeast Stark. And we'll be giving that information throughout the program. And so, yeah, it's really astounded me that there was this, you know, people think of the Greenpeace ships. There's been many now. The Sea Shepherd, of course, the anti-whaling radicals, and other people that, you know, use. Oh, now, of course, there's the kayak activists, the flotillas against fossil fuels. These tactics are obviously people find whatever tactics they can muster to fight against the machine. But back in 1958, I don't imagine there are that many people thinking about sailing a sailboat across the Pacific Ocean to go to the Marshall Islands to try to stop the atmospheric nuclear testing. That was quite courageous. And of course, they didn't get there. They were arrested before there. But do you tell us some stories you've heard about that original mission?
So let's talk a little bit about the motivation for the original mission. Albert Bigelow, the captain of the Golden Rule in 1958, had been a career Navy man. He had been in Pearl Harbor when it was bombed. And when the dropping of the bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki occurred, he was so horrified by what our government had done that he quit his commission as a Navy officer a month before he could have received full retirement. Wow. That's how strongly he felt that this was wrong. He joined the Religious Society of Friends, otherwise known as the Quakers, and started becoming an anti-nuclear activist. By 1958, the U.S. had been bombing the Marshall Islands with nuclear bombs for several years. And strontium-90 was going into the atmosphere. It's a radioactive material that mimics calcium. So it was going into the bones and the teeth of our babies and into the cow's milk and mother's milk. And so our children were being exposed to strontium-90, and that was happening all over the world. So Dr. Benjamin Spock, the great pediatrician, was writing about it. People were starting to wonder what was going on with this radiation. And so this Quaker group started writing letters to the editor, started petitions, started contacting their congresspeople and the president, doing everything they could to try to convince our government to stop this program of atmospheric nuclear bomb testing. And so they were very vocal about their intentions when they got the Golden Rule and started sailing towards the Marshall Islands to put themselves in the way of these tests. And so everybody knew that they were going to do this. They put it all over the newspapers. It was widely publicized. So when they got to Hawaii and they were trying to leave Hawaii with their new provisions to get to the Marshall Islands, they were arrested because of a brand new law that the Atomic Energy Commission had created to stop them.
They created a law just for them?
Yes. And they called it the Golden Rule Law.
That's strangely ironic, perversely ironic.
And the law was simply that no U.S. citizen shall enter the Marshall Islands testing zone. And so they preemptively arrested them for intending to break the law. And so twice the crew tried to sail towards the Marshall Islands. Twice they were boarded by the Coast Guard and brought back into Honolulu. At the same time, the vessel, the Phoenix of Hiroshima, was also in that same harbor. That captain, Dr. Earl Reynolds, had spent 3 years in Hiroshima studying the effects of radiation on children. So he knew what the bombings had done. And his family had done an around-the-world tour in the 50-foot sailboat that he had had commissioned. He designed and had it built, and they were just doing a pleasure cruise when they arrived in Honolulu, and they were headed back to Hiroshima. Well, you can't get to Hiroshima from Honolulu without going straight through the testing zone. So they came into the harbor. They heard about the Golden Rule. They heard about the arrest of the crew. And the baton was literally passed from the Golden Rule to the Phoenix, and the Phoenix ended up sailing into the testing zone and completing the mission of the Golden Rule. So this was 1958. It was widely publicized what was going on, and people that I talk to now say, that was my very first protest I went to. My family took me out onto the street to protest against the arrest of the crew of the Golden Rule. So I hear about that all the time in our travels. In 1963, Kennedy signed the Limited Test Ban Treaty with the UK and the USSR to stop atmospheric in the water and in space nuclear testing. So partly as a result of what happened here. You referred to the other peace boats. Greenpeace was started up in Vancouver, B.C., by a couple that said, let's do what the Golden Rule did. Let's put a boat out there. This is going to be pretty dramatic. And so they did.
And those were also anti-nuclear protests, the first Greenpeace protests, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a really incredible history. So you're listening to Wednesday Talk Radio. My guest is Helen Jacquard, a crew member of the Golden Rule, a boat with an incredibly rich history, and they'll be coming to Portland next week. And of course, I forgot to mention the main reason why you're coming to Portland, because the fleet of Navy vessels will be coming, as always, during the Rose Festival here. And as always, there will be people contrasting the glorification of war and warships. So as I mentioned, on Wednesday, June 8th, you all will be at the First Unitarian Church from 7 to 9:30. And then the next day, there'll be a peace fleet versus parade of warships. And the warships include a U.S. Navy guided missile destroyer. And those ships will be leaving Astoria in the morning and docking at the Portland Seawall in the late afternoon of Thursday, June 9th. So have you ever done anything like this before, Helen?
Yes, in San Francisco last year.
Uh-huh.
So we were on a shorter trip last year after the San Diego Veterans for Peace National Convention. We made 10 stops along our way back to Eureka, and one of those stops was in San Francisco for the parade of warships there, and it was a wonderful event. You know, thousands of people come down to downtown San Francisco to see the parade of ships, and so we were down the main pier in San Francisco and handing out flyers talking about, well, what's that ship out there in the bay with the bright red sails? It's got a white peace symbol on one of the sails, and it's got the Veterans for Peace logo on the other sail. What's that there for? Well, we're sailing for a nuclear-free world and a peaceful, sustainable future. And But our primary focus is nuclear disarmament.
And I mentioned, of course, the phone number to call up and ask a question of Helen or make a comment, 503-231-8187. So what kind of feedback have you gotten? What, I mean, you've been around this stuff for quite a while, I imagine. First of all, are you a veteran yourself?
No, I'm not. I'm an associate member of Veterans for Peace. So there's a little bit of difference in the organization between the veteran members and the associate members. There's not very many of us. Most of us are partners or spouses of veterans that are long-term members of Veterans for Peace. And we help to raise up the veterans' voice and the veterans' perspective on all kinds of issues, mostly regarding war and peace, nuclear issues, things like that.
So what's the feeling you're getting? What's the kind of response you're getting, especially, I mean, I guess you said you only did that one protest of the warships. I mean, it's hard for me to get a sense. I was out of the country for many, many, many years. I kind of live in a little bit of the Portland bubble here, I must confess. You know, what's your sense out there in terms of people's feelings about war, preparations for war? It seems like people are kind of generally tired of it, but did you get much? What were the reactions to the protests in San Francisco Bay last year?
Well, all over, we're getting a lot of excitement from activists, both the anti-nuclear activists and the anti-war activists, regarding this journey. And so people are anxious to have us come. They're happy to help us with outreach for our events, like KBOO has been doing. Thank you very much. And they're excited about getting people reinvigorated to stop nuclear testing, stop production of nuclear weapons, and to end war. And they feel like this has been just a wonderful tactic to raise the level of awareness in the general population. So we have kind of a twofold philosophy. One is to reach beyond the choir and try to help people understand that nuclear disarmament is not only necessary, but it's possible. And it's possible through a lot of the means that we've been working with. The United Nations has a new open-ended working group to negotiate the end of nuclear weapons and to put them in the same category as chemical and biological weapons, make them illegal, and destroy them. And there are a lot of efforts, not just internationally, but nationally, to work towards disarmament and dismantling the nuclear weapons. And that has to do with encouraging negotiation, supporting the Marshall Islands lawsuit against the nuclear powers that are not negotiating in good faith to accomplish, ultimately, no nuclear weapons on the planet. So there's a lot going on. There are petitions to sign, and so there's things that the general public doesn't know about yet. So we're, as one of our crew or our restoration coordinator says, a weapon of mass education. So we're wanting to reach beyond the choir. We need to reach people starting with where they are today. And, you know, a few people have said, good luck with that, you know, idea of nuclear disarmament. I think it's important to believe it can happen and important to understand the necessity of nuclear disarmament.
Of course.
So we're trying to, but we're also wanting to reinvigorate the movement of the past that has been, we're at a pretty low ebb right now in both the nuclear and anti-war movement and need to come back. I mean, you know, a nuclear war is an existential threat to not just the species, but life on the planet. And, you know, we could destroy ourselves in 15 minutes compared to climate change, which might destroy us in 50 years.
Well, that's a big conversation.
Go ahead.
Well, that's a big conversation that perhaps we'll have time to get into. I'm not sure I actually agree exactly with that formulation of it, but perhaps we'll have time to talk about that, the relationship between climate change, fossil fuels, nuclear power, the issue of nuclear war. But I also wanted, before we get into that, I'd like to talk about the issue of disarmament in the light of Obama's declarations at Hiroshima, which have gotten very mixed responses. And he's seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth, or saying one thing and doing another in terms of actually modernizing the nuclear arsenal. At the same time, he's talking about getting rid of the nukes. But we have a caller on the phone right now. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Helen. Sarah here.
Hi, Sarah.
I just wanted to say that I think it is very timely that the Golden Rule is sailing again at the same time the Marshall Islands is suing over the nuclear testing and all the fallout and the destruction of the islands. And I hear we might have a canoe or outrigger from the Marshall Islands sailing with us in Portland next week.
We're really excited that we got involved with livingislands.org. They're a Marshall Islands support group. They help support both Marshall Islanders that are resettling in the Portland area because of the rising waters of their country. And they also help support the Marshall Islanders that are choosing to stay in the Marshall Islands. And they brought, there's only five masters of building these canoe outriggers. They're sailboats, and very, very fast. And so they have just finished creating a new Marshall Island sailboat in Portland. They just had the unveiling on May 29th, and we're hoping that it will be launching into the water and sailing with us on June 11th during the Rose Parade.
Awesome. Great. Well, I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for calling, Sarah.
Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up. That is something I also wanted to bring up. I missed that event. I neglected to actually get in touch with this person who's involved with the Marshall Islanders support organization. That would have been a thing maybe for next week's show, where we're going to continue to talk about these issues on my next Wednesday show. But yeah, talk a little bit about that. What's going on in the, you know, did you listen to Obama's speech at Hiroshima?
No, I didn't, but I've read the transcript, and I'm appalled that he said that we might not have nuclear disarmament in our lifetime. And he and I are, you know, somewhere close to the same age. So he's setting up an atmosphere for failure. And I think that that's totally wrong. So although out of one side of his mouth he sort of supports nuclear disarmament, he ought to be ashamed of himself. What he is supporting, though, is what we had thought was a $1 trillion program of new nuclear weapons and new delivery systems, as in missiles and torpedoes, for delivering those bombs. It turns out this $1 trillion over 30 years project to so-called modernize our nuclear arsenal could actually end up being $2 or $3 trillion over 15 to 20 years. So they just upped the ante recently as far as what's it going to cost over a shorter period of time.
Yeah, there doesn't really seem to be any serious interest in turning back the tide of just about anything, frankly, either in terms of real reduction in fossil fuel use, really seriously looking at the consequences of the American empire and American expansionism in the 20th and 21st century, dealing with the issue of nuclear weapons. It seems to be a time of a time of strange sort of stasis and really renewed geopolitical maneuvering. And there doesn't seem to be, you know, when Donald Trump is like the only one who seems to be actually talking about potentially dealing with Putin, it seems to be a very dismal political situation as far as I can see.
It's very scary right now. It's scary when the two largest nuclear powers are at each other's throats in both Ukraine and Syria. It's scary that India and Pakistan, that are both nuclear powers, are fighting over Kashmir in a renewed way. It's scary that North Korea feels so threatened that they're developing new nuclear weapons and missiles. You know, it's a very scary time. And people are calling for at least Russia and the United States taking their weapons off of hair trigger alert.
Well,
there's no need for that.
Let's go to another caller. Maureen is on the line. Go ahead, Maureen. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a suggestion for any upcoming protests that the Golden Rule is involved in that might be helpful. If you could alert people to bring their cameras and take photographs of when you're in Portland, and they could perhaps upload them to your website, or if there's no website currently, they could perhaps email them, and then those photographs could be compiled and to make a very visually interesting display in as you go forward with future activities. And when you are at sea, doing a protest at sea, like, I don't know, around the Marshall Islands perhaps, I understand the prices on drone aircraft are coming down, you know, the hobbyist drone aircraft are coming down to quite affordable levels, and perhaps a camera could be loaded onto a drone for when you're overseas somewhere, so that people can get a much more of an immediate sense of all the amazing things the Golden Rule is involved in.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you. That's a great idea. And in addition to the two fleet weeks in Seattle and Portland, we're going to be doing a series of water actions with kayaktivists and other boats, flotillas. And this would be a great idea to take pictures with drones, but to take pictures and post them. You can email pictures to VFP, as in Veterans for Peace, VFPGoldenRuleProject.org, and I'd be happy to post them on the website.
Thank you.
So that's the website for your the Golden Rule, VFPGoldenRuleProject.org, and I assume you have a Facebook event and all that.
Do you also
have a phone number?
Yeah, I would prefer that people call me for now. It's 206-992-6364.
Just so we cover all the bases for all the different types of media access that people have. So again, you're going to be coming to Portland next week and then on to Seattle after that, I guess?
Right. Well, actually, so from Portland on June 12th, we sail up. We're having a small picnic in Cascade Locks on our way to Hood River, where we have a presentation on June 15th at the Riverside Church, Community Church. And then we have an event on June 16th in Stevenson across the river from Cascade Locks. And then we'll have a presentation in Vancouver on June 18th, Saturday, before we head up to Seattle. But on the way to Seattle, we're going to make a stop in Port Townsend. Indian Island Munitions Depot is right across from Port Townsend, visible from there. And that's our first kayaktivist kind of event, where we're just going to, you know, sail back and forth,
just to alert people that the largest munitions depot that's supplying all of these wars is right there near Port Townsend, Washington, at the north end of the Olympic Peninsula. So that's going to be a really exciting event, and we hope everybody with boats will turn up and, you know, just support us in bringing attention to these militarism issues in Washington State.
So I understand you're also looking for new crew members and volunteers and financial support. Let's talk about that. I think we have another caller. Rebels still on the line waiting, I believe. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a few comments about the building up of the nuclear arsenal that Obama just pledged to do. I think it's really absolutely repugnant that he not only did not apologize for what the U.S. did to Japan, which, you know, by all accounts wasn't needed. They were ready to surrender. But he upped the ante by pouring tons of money into modernizing the nuclear arsenal, which means that not only are they going to be creating nuclear missiles that evade anti-missile systems, meaning they'll more likely hit, but they are also modernizing means miniaturizing. So they're going to have miniature nukes that don't make as big of a boom, which gives them much more reason to use them. That the possibilities of that those being used are far greater than the big ones. And that's the comments I wanted to make, and it just disgusts me.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Helen, do you have any response?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's true. This new, it's called the B-61-12. They're calling it a modernization, but it's really a new gravity bomb that is smarter than the old one, so it's more, you can target it more specifically somewhere, and it's got dial-a-yield, meaning that it can go, you know, anywhere from a fairly small bomb to a pretty big bomb just by making a setting and saying, okay, this is how much we want for kaboom. And, yeah, so they're talking about making potentially usable nuclear weapons. And, you know, in my opinion, new nuclear weapons are against the spirit and the writing of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and we need to stop this now.
And so I just mentioned that there's going to be that in addition to all the events coming up, which we'll mention again, you're looking for other support. People can show up, obviously, at these events and take part in these protests and public presentations, but you're looking for people to join your crew, possibly.
That's true. So if you want to crew on the Golden Rule, go to the website, vspgoldenruleproject.org, and you'll find a link to the crew application and a way to email it back to us so that we can consider you for crew. We're looking for volunteers that can do outreach to the public, outreach to the media, write articles about us for any club you belong to. Would be great just to spread the word that we exist and this is why we exist. And we will need host families wherever we go so that the crew can get, you know, showers, a home-cooked meal, and maybe a night in a bed to sleep in instead of just on the boat. And there's other ways to get involved, like you could volunteer to help post things on our website or our Facebook page or do other administrative tasks with us. So if you send an email to vfpgoldenruleproject@gmail.com, we'll get it and we can plug you into wherever you can help. You might try sending a message via Facebook. It's VFP, Veterans for Peace, VFP Golden Rule Project is our Facebook page. So there's all kinds of ways you can contact us and learn about us so that you can help us. I think it's an important mission, and we need as much help as we can get.
And so again, let me just briefly mention some of these events. Wednesday, June 8th at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel at 1011 Southwest 12th in Portland, that Helen will be there, along with Harvey Wasserman, a longtime anti-nukes and solar energy activist. Kiana Judah Angelo of the Living Islands Support Organization for Marshall Islanders and of Marshall Islanders, Mimi German, founder of Nunuks Northwest, Teresa Rafu, Don't Shoot Portland, Fred Schaefer, National Commander of the National Association of Atomic Veterans, and Chuck Johnson of Physicians for Social Responsibility, who's working to close the Columbia Generating Station, and we'll be talking about that for sure next week with Mimi and Harvey and possibly others, and music by Dave Rovics, who you heard at the beginning and we'll hear at the outset. Then on June 9th, the Peace Fleet will contrast the parade of Navy warships in Portland. That's in the afternoon at the Portland Seawall. They say that volunteers are needed to pass out flyers in the park and boaters to carry the message of peace. So you can plug into that again through the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule Project website, vfpgoldenruleproject.org. And then a potluck on June 10th. Starting at 6:30 at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House, 4312 Southeast Stark, and Helen Jacquard, who we're speaking with, will be there, as well as Carol Erner, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, who will discuss the ways in which U.S. and international groups are working for nuclear disarmament, including H.R. 1976, the bill before the U.S. Congress to disarm and use the money for clean energy. And there will be music there also by Peter Ford. And then you mentioned a bunch of events that I hadn't become aware of yet. June 12th at Cascade Locks, a brief stop and a picnic, you said. And then June 15th in Hood River, and June 16th in Stevenson, June 18th in Vancouver. It's a full schedule, lots of opportunities for people all around our listening audience, because we do go out into the Columbia River Gorge. So people can plug into all those things. Again, the number is 503-231-8187. We've got another call. I believe it's Edie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. I wanted to be able to share some of my experiences as a lesson that if we know how we've been lied to and what are some of the patterns of lies and how we've been complicit in not wanting to question our own attachment to certain beliefs, then we're more able to see through the lies and our attachment or our closed-mindedness for the next thing. When I was in Japan, I learned that the Japanese nation surrendered 32 times before Hiroshima and several times between Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And when I would mention that to folks, they were told no because they wanted to say, no, we saved lives, we're the good guys. In spite of American diplomats, and they were going a lot through the Russians, through what the Soviets were saying. And when we look at every war that we've gone into, it's always begun with some lies where we pretend, something is set up and we scapegoat someone else as an excuse. Well, one, we didn't do those things. Two, it's not an excuse to bomb and hurt all these other people. And three, it doesn't make us any safer or more secure. And four, it distracts us from what we really need to do to solve our real problems. But if we keep seeing that pattern, then we can start focusing on what we really want, if it's safety, security, justice, peace of mind. We can focus on that is what we want, not on a strategy that should never work, that goes against it.
Fair enough. I can't disagree with that. Helen?
And if we see the connections between that fear-based greed or contempt and lying to ourselves and others about one thing, then we can see how we have the Hanford nuclear plant and the Columbia substation, and we have the poisoning of our water and our air and what we've promoted to Fukushima and how they're lying about things. We connect those dots, how that hurts people, hurts animals, it hurts weather, hurts democracy. And then we can work together against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We'll work together to help those that are victims of environmental racism and war. And that working together with the things that we care about, the golden rule, the truth, the justice, the love, a fair world, when we do that, we come up with all kinds of solutions and energy and power.
All right. Well, that's definitely inspirational. I guess my only comment would be it's true, but I also feel that it's there's this psychology, the psychology of deceit is somehow embedded in a cultural system and in institutions that in some sense have become sort of separate from us as human individuals. And it's maybe a subject for another program, but I can't disagree with that. So let's go to our next caller. Is Kyle, go ahead, you're on the air.
Jack, good morning. Very salient conversation I'm hearing this morning, and thank you so much for bringing this topic up, and thank you to your guests for being on the air. I grew up in the 60s, and I went through a terrible fear of being blown to smithereens for quite some time as a young man, young child and young man. And, and I find that fear creeping back up into me now, and I'm 64, almost 64 years old. And, it's very scary personally to me. I mean, very scary. And especially knowing that the nations that now have nuclear weapons are a lot more rogue and a lot more out of control than we ever thought of being. And then there's also us who are now out of control again, when we've got the audacity to go to Japan and stand there without an apology in hand and then turn right around and want to create more and more nuclear weapons. I mean, it's insane. Well, it's insanity. We all knew that before anyway, but the one thing I thought about in this thing is that maybe perhaps it's time for just a small local action. That is, let's stop inviting the warships to the city for Rose Festival. Let's turn it into a tall ship festival with sail ships and sailboats invited from all over the world, turn it into a completely different event, a peaceful event, a Rose Festival peace parade and peace event.
Well, let's see how many people we can get out to protest them and get that going.
Yeah. We can't even, they're not even at the seawall anymore. They're all bristling with security. You can hardly get aboard one without being strip searched. I mean, so what's the good of having those things anyway? I mean, what, go on board and look at electronic panels that shoot electronic weapons at each other that are computerized? I don't think so. No, that's not the way. I think that we need to really totally, back away from that kind of footing and that kind of talk and that kind of whole action of being. And I'm sure there can be another whole show on that too. But
okay,
well, that's my thoughts. I'd like to have just some feedback and conversation. I myself have been riddled with anxiety for the last year or so, and I'm back into it again, and it really, really scares the living Jesus out of me,
I hear you. And it's important to feel those feelings. I think when we don't feel those feelings is when it really gets dangerous. Thank you for calling, Kyle. I just want to mention that coming up at 9 on Political Perspectives, host Doug McVeigh interviews journalist and author Maya Salavitz about her new book, Unbroken Brain, as well as drug addiction, drug policy, and more. And as always, we thank all of you KBOO members for supporting this community radio station. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Before we go to our next caller, I just want to give Helen a chance to give any feedback on the previous callers.
Well, as David Swanson said, war is a lie, and you almost always start out wars with lies. And, even the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki was based on a lie that we needed to do this in order to save millions of lives. And, in fact, we had already carpet bombed Japan to the point that they knew they had no choice but to surrender, and they had been negotiating the terms of the surrender with the United States and with Russia already. And so, yes, this was a very unnecessary step. It was a political stunt, and as well as a way to demonstrate what it is that the United States had developed. And so it was completely unnecessary, and we should be apologizing for what we did. And I share Kyle's fear. I used to live in West Seattle, and when I first moved there and heard these big booms sometime in June, and I thought, oh my gosh, did World War III just start? You know, are we being bombed? It turned out it was Vashon Island Strawberry Festival. But that's how deep these fears go from our childhood and how easily they can resurface. And that, but I think what we need to do is, just like he was suggesting, is not feel paralyzed by our fear, but use it as an inspiration for coming up with solutions. For example, getting rid of fleet weeks all over the place and turning those into, you know, a parade of peace would be grand. A parade of peace boats instead of a parade of warships. And we need to stop glorifying war and the preparation for war. And, you know, it's like in Veterans for Peace, we want to call it Armistice Day instead of Veterans Day. You know, take our day back. You know, we don't want to, we're not against people that are in the military. We're against the behavior of the military machine.
And we have a, so to speak, a fleet of callers waiting. I just want to briefly recap. I'm speaking with Helen Jacquard, who's a crew member of the Golden Rule, which is a refurbished boat that had originally, a sailboat that had was on its way to the Marshall Islands to protest atmospheric nuclear testing way back in 1958. It had languished at the bottom of the Humboldt Bay Harbor for years, and it has been refurbished in a demonstration of love and dedication, and is now being put back to the original use, and it's going to be in Portland next week. And right before we go out, we'll mention some of those dates again. But right now, do we still have Nancy on the line? Oh, we lost Nancy. Aleve, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. I'd like to thank you folks at KBOO for doing all the fine work you're doing here in the Portland area. And I want to address a myriad of things that have been talked about this morning, just very briefly. And I suggest people get a paper and pencil handy. And I'd like them to write down this this website. It's called KeshFoundation.org. It's spelled K-E-S-H-E Foundation.org. And Mr. Kesh, who is a nuclear scientist and his father before him, so he's been exposed to nuclear energy since he was a child. The Kesh Foundation, he started a program here years ago. He calls it Free Energy for World Peace, and that is in glorious, glorious fashion going on around the globe right now. It's cut off by the mainstream media here in the United States. Mr. Kesh works in the plasmic field. He calls it the new plasmic science, and it has answers to all of our needs. It has answers to nuclear war. It has answers to climate change. It has answers to feeding the people. It has answers to health.
Okay, I think we probably don't have time to get into it in the great depth that it sounds like you want to at this point. So let's just point people to the KeshFoundation.org, K-E-S-H-E Foundation.org.
Right, and if you go to there, you can go on. He has a link there that takes you to live stream. There are live stream teachings every week, twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can they're live stream, and then they're 24/7 playback anytime you want them. Just scroll down, and I'd recommend that people go there and start checking that stuff out.
Okay, thank you very much. We got to run because we've only got about 5 minutes left, and we got some other callers, and we still have some other things to talk about on the subject at hand, which is the Golden Rule, which is coming to Portland starting June 8th. And there'll be an event, at, as I mentioned already several times, at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Our guest, Helen Jacquard, will be there, along with many other people who are active in this and other related issues. And then again, the Peace Fleet contrasting the parade of Navy warships the next day, Thursday, June 9th, a potluck with the Golden Rule crew on June 10th, Friday at the Multnomah Friends meeting. And all this can be found at vfpgoldenruleproject.org. Do we have another caller, Liam? Go ahead. You're on the air.
Am I on now?
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was actually in Mendocino, California when Greenpeace started. And it was just some fishermen who did not like the idea of the seals being clubbed to death. I don't know if anyone's memory goes back that far. But and now I have spent time in Europe watching, like, Blue Sky TV or, I guess, BBC, and you will hear the new Greenpeace because, you know, these organizations can be taken over with relatively small donations, and then, you know, they have the platform to collect money. And the Greenpeace had kind of evolved into, like, nothing more than Al-Qaeda propaganda with, like, environmental sound bites. It was actually quite frightening. And some of the news that, like, doesn't get out, if people are interested in stopping nuclear proliferation, that, like, Saddam Hussein's enriched, or not enriched uranium, but yellow cake uranium was sold in Montreal Harbor, you know, by the Bush consortium. Bush went over there, started the war.
Okay, we're getting a little far.
No, but
we're getting a little far afield here, and we only have like 3 minutes left.
But I'm saying you say that you are anti-proliferation, and yet the fact that Saddam Hussein was trying to build nuclear weapons, and that was maybe the reason that we went.
No. I have to cut you off. I'm sorry. That is completely false information that you're putting out on our airwaves. And I'm sorry. You should call like maybe half an hour earlier. You might be able to get a little more time. But no, I mean, it's been demonstrated that that was completely not true, that was completely manufactured information. But let me give the microphone over to Helen, who only has a couple minutes left on our airwaves before she sets sail again and comes to Portland. Helen.
So please come to the website, vfpgoldenruleproject.org, and download our event schedule. It'll be updated. I get new information almost every day. Visit our Facebook page, VFP Golden Rule Project. Contact us at vfpgoldenruleproject@gmail.com. Call me, Helen Jacquard, at 206-992-6364. Volunteer to crew, volunteer to host our crew, volunteer to help out with outreach and any other way you can. Come put your boat in the water on June 9th in the afternoon and help us give a warm unwelcome to the warship. And have a lot of fun, you know, talking with people about nuclear disarmament now.
So just to give us a little snapshot of what it's like to be on a crew member on this Golden Rule boat.
It was a total honor. After reading Burt Bigelow's book about the original voyage of the Golden Rule, I was blown away by being chosen as a crew member and coming into each harbor and being welcomed by a group of peace and anti-nuclear activists and press, and being able to talk about the history of the boat and what we're doing now is totally amazing. And it's so much fun that I just want to keep on doing it for a while.
All right. Well, it's nice to be able to fall into these remarkable opportunities. And they're out there. And again, people can apply to be a crew member on the boat. So you can go to that vfpgoldenruleproject.org website that we mentioned. And thank you so much, Helen. And people will have many opportunities to visit with you up and down the Columbia River coming up next week.
And thank you very much, Paul. And thank you to KBOO for having me on the air and for being a sponsor for our June 8th event. You guys are awesome.
All right. And that was Helen Jacquard speaking with us from, I believe she said, Eureka, California. She's on her way up the coast with the Golden Rule, the refurbished boat that challenged nuclear weapons all the way back in 1958 and to the present. Thank you, Liam, for engineering. We're going to go out with some more Dave Rovics. Oh, I guess we don't have it up on the computer anymore. So maybe we have a couple messages. Let's go to some messages. This is KBOO Community Radio, Wednesday Talk Radio with your host, Paul Rowland. Stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, accessories, and gifts with a focus on U.S. made and certified fair trade natural fiber clothing since 1984. Gazelle is located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Lost Boys of Portlandia, a film premiere gala and fundraiser for Outside the Frame, Tuesday, June 7th at 7 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. Outside the Frame is a new organization that empowers homeless and marginalized youth by producing films with youth that convey their life experience. They will premiere The Lost Boys of Portlandia, a riff on Peter Pan, where real lost boys and girls debate if and how to return to mainstream society. They will also screen original film shorts by homeless youth about issues such as drug abuse, gender identity, and the healthcare system. Again, that's The Lost Boys of Portlandia, Tuesday, June 7th at 7 p.m. at Revolution Hall, 1300 Southeast Stark Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th, to take place in locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence is an annual celebration of placemaking, community,